Welcome, everyone, to In the Bedroom with Cassie Jeans, Words That Awaken the Soul. This week, I'm bringing you guys something juicy and spectacular and very, very special. And I'm so, so excited to be able to share with you that we have a special guest this week. Her name is Natalie Bright, and she is a woman that I madly respect and a woman who is totally on fire for the things in which she is creating from the inner vessels of her being. And she is leading and creating space for women to heal and transform their lives in really interesting, fresh, exciting, deliberate, purposeful, intentional ways. So Natalie, I'll let you say hello before I intro your bio because it's pretty rad. Hey, Natalie.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited to just chat and see what kind of unfolds with this conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here is a little bit of info about Natalie, knowing that words cannot always sum up the essence of a person's being. We're going to do our best here. So Natalie is an intuitive business and life alignment coach, mentor, and creative that supports soulpreneurs, growth seekers, and change makers in up-leveling and expanding the way we think, create, contribute, and manifest within our businesses and lives. Her medicine helps you to awaken to your higher power and activate your authentic purpose, so that you can create and manifest from a space of intuition and alignment for the highest good of all. Natalie specializes in meshing metaphysics with science and balancing masculine and feminine energy flow through belief system work, deconstructing programming, authenticity development, inner being power activation, brand cultivation, and intuitive business development. She is a catalyst for creative expression and a guide for discovering your gifts so that you can become a deliberate creator of your life, live your truth, and activate your limitless potential.
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
It was. I was like, oh my goodness, here, I should have put some lip gloss on. So for listeners who are tuning in right now, if you listen to that series of words and you really like took in the like just the power, it would make sense as to why I was like, okay, let's bring Natalie on. Because like that is basically Soul Jam 101 and all the things that I love to do and explore. And I think listeners are going to get a really cool treat today. One of the things that I would love to just touch on, first of all, is the eclectic nature of what you do. Like, truly.
Yes. That's so funny you bring that up. And I actually love that you even said that and started off with that, because that's one area that I think for a long time I really avoided it. I avoided the eclectic nature of me because I'm so like, I love polarity and I love contrast and I love opposites and I love kind of just like going in deep to deconstructing things and finding new paths and new like discoveries with stuff. And that's so much of how my brain operates that for a long time I really kind of like thought that was wrong. I was like, it should be clear. It should be precise. It should be, you know, niche it down, be specific. And it's like, but that's not how I work, you know? So a lot of just what I do and the way in which I work is, removing the walls. That's something that I've been feeling so deeply into lately, is just really, one thing I write down almost every day is boundless freedom, boundless freedom, boundless freedom, because, that's what it's all about. It's about like releasing these walls, these barriers, these blocks that just really box in our energy, and just finding that creator power and that expression that is truly limitless, because man, it feels so much better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I resonate with that so much. And I know that's going to be freeing for a lot of people who do have so many interests, who have so many fascinations and curiosities in a whole bunch of different things. And it's true. We're so taught to pick one thing. We're taught to focus in on one thing and give all our energy to one thing. It really denotes the vastness of our being. It denotes just the intricacies of our energy. It almost denotes science in the way in which that we've been like created and then also spiritually founded. I totally get that. That makes so much sense. One of the things that I'm curious about is with some of the teachings that you do share within your Facebook group, but then also exclusively with your clients, there is this element of science and spirit to what you're doing. And I find that truly fascinating. because as we continue to awaken and expand and allow ourselves that freedom to really explore what's happening inside of us, I'm finding that we are coming to a balance between spirituality and science. Is that something that you're coming across that you've actually maybe been exploring for a while now?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, and it I have a hard time like shutting up about it because it excites me so much. Like I totally geek out about it because the way I like to look at it is I think a lot of times we kind of sway to one side or the other. And this kind of even comes into play with swaying one side of masculine or one side of feminine. And for some people, I think it's really hard to grasp the concepts of quote unquote, the woo, the spiritual, where, or like the metaphysical, the unseen, whereas it's easier for them to be able to grasp the tangible science of it, the tangible explanation of things. And for me, I really love taking the unseen, the unimaginable, and making it real in my brain, like being able to take something that seems so far-fetched, so outrageous, so wild of a concept, and being like, no, it's not. This is real. Like, this is something that I can actually, in my crazy, you know, ego brain, be able to understand. This is something I can actually totally see as truth. And so meshing the science with the spiritual, I think it's a matter of almost like coming back to our center of being able to, again, release those bounds of what is not possible versus what is, and start seeing that truly, I mean, if we really want to get super wild, like literally anything is possible. It's just some of it hasn't been proven yet, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like being able to go into that space of like pure magic, pure, just like other dimension, and be able to see that it is something that is possible, I think gives a lot of hope, a lot of, like expansive belief in self, belief in collective, belief in just what we are here to do and what we can do, you know?
Absolutely. I'm totally down with that.
Yeah.
Now, what is it, or why is the better, word? Why the fascination for you personally, you know?
Ooh, yeah. It's so funny because like growing up, I clearly remember in high school having, I think it was a biology class, and I hated it so much. I hated science. I could not get down with it at all. I was not quote unquote good at it. But somewhere along the line, I have a background in philosophy. I went to college and studied philosophy. And so I always loved more of the thought that was totally like bizarre and out there, and more of like that thought process rather than the science side. But somewhere along the line, I don't even know what it was that started sparking. Oh, I know what it was. It was when I started studying belief systems, and I started studying the actual process that takes place within us scientifically when it comes to belief systems, as well as energy and vibration. And I started getting really crazy with studying the science of vibration, brainwaves, belief systems, neurological pathways, all of that stuff. And I'm like, holy shit, what is going on here? Like, this is crazy. And it started making me start understanding more of things like how the law of attraction works, how manifestation works, how, you know, as within, so without, we are creators. I started seeing it in a new set of eyes that was like, oh my God. Yeah. This is it. Like it was like this click. And so yeah, in comes the obsession, like the pure obsession of like just wanting to understand, what is really going on here, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Was that like a personal study that started happening, or was that something that you started doing within school? Like how, like, was that a soul nudge? Like what happened that you
totally
started to explore?
Totally. It was last year was when I just got lost in the rabbit hole.
Yeah,
completely.
Nice.
And yeah. It was, you know what, a big part of it, I started getting into learning about EMDR therapy, RTT therapy. I started studying EFT tapping. And then I started, that kind of took me into the realms of then meshing what I was studying more on like a psychological science side, meshing it with also studying like Eckhart Tolle, or yeah, studying more of the metaphysical side. And I was like there, and then now I'm in the path of studying Jung, Carl Jung. And so it's like, I'm starting to see these common threads between those who are approaching topics more on the spiritual side versus those approaching topics more on the science side, I'm like, it's one and the same. It's it's just a different spin off of the same root, you know?
Absolutely. The book, A New Earth, Eckhart Tolle and the Power of Now, revolutionary. I would recommend everybody read, pick those books up and dive in. What have you, I'm imagining you've read both of them.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. What did you pull from those? Just because you did touch on his name that, I mean, there's so much, right? So it's hard to be like, well, it was this one pinnacle moment. It's more like, what if you were a listener right now who, and maybe because what's happening is some are going to be listening and are going to be like, oh, this is so like my lane. I love everything that we're talking about here. Others are going to be listening and are going to be like, oh, okay, so this seems maybe a little too far out, or this seems like, why even bother? Like learning this stuff, why even bother going there, you know? Because sometimes there's that hopelessness, like what we were, like you touched on the fact that there's hope, but for some, like there's this hopelessness, like, well, what does it all matter, like in the end, like it's not going to make any difference, and all these sorts of things, right? And I feel like we are in this duality within the world right now where we go, oh my gosh, there's so much point, there's so much advocacy to be able to do this stuff, but then there's also this other side where it's like, well, what is the point? Because I'm not really sure, you know. I'm watching this incredible young, like grade 6 or grade 7 year old, in she's in Europe or Switzerland, I don't know her name, it starts with a G, I'm not going to be able to pronounce it right, but she's leading this massive oh my gosh, revolution when it comes to global threat and climate change. And she's got tens of thousands of fellow students marching in the streets and striking and not going to school because they refuse to continue to participate in the system of education when the system of education is actually not doing anything for the global planet. And I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
So, right. So you've got this like that. And then you also have suicide rates increasing in numbers that are scary, and depression and anxiety and fear, and addiction. Addiction is becoming this like intense escapism for so many of us. So I'm curious to know, when it comes to these concepts and these ideas, is there something that grounds them and really offers hope? Like, where is the hope when it comes to really exploring the science and the spiritual in all of us?
Oh my gosh, so many different areas that I could go into in here, so I'll try not to get too wild with you. But
we can go wild.
Yeah,
we're in the bedroom right now, Natalie.
Right. So the one. Okay. So first, like when it. Let me go into Eckhart for a minute, and then I'll kind of branch it off.
Yeah.
Because when I started reading Eckhart, what's funny is I tried to read A Power of Now many years ago. I wasn't open to it. I wasn't ready. And that's one thing that I think is really important to understand is if this isn't where you're at right now in terms of resonating with these concepts, that's okay. Just allow it to unfold in the most unimaginable ways, because we're all waking up at different times, different levels, different methods, and we can't force that, you know. It's just an unfolding, a beautiful unfolding. And we're all on our own individual paths, but we are all very, very deeply, deeply connected. And so when I started reading Eckhart, it was like I started understanding more clearly about consciousness. And I started getting way, way deep into studying like spiral dynamics and all of these things to start better understanding consciousness, because I could understand it for the individual, but I could also start understanding how our collective consciousness and raising this, you know, developing it, how it also can contribute to massive global shift. And that was what really excited me, is understanding that through these types of things, the spiritual, the science, that's where the change happens, and change begins within. And I think a lot of times we feel very hopeless of, well, what can I do? Right. And that's one thing I've been guilty of many times, of using the excuse of like, but it's just me, you know, like what can I do to help or to make change or anything like that. But that's the problem, because it starts with us, as within, so without. And so the main thing that Eckhart really gave me was radical responsibility for self. Whereas before, I think a lot of times many of us live from the space of so out of our bodies, so disconnected from our bodies, that we aren't really realizing the true power we have within us to change our lives and to change the world. And so that was the big pivotal moment with Eckhart, was radical responsibility for self. In the knowingness that in taking that radical responsibility, it is for the highest good of my life, everybody in my life, and the world. And that's where the shift can start. When it comes to, you know, well, what's the point? You know, it can be a little bit hopeless in terms of, you know, can these concepts really create change or transformation. I think it's a matter of really understanding the power of the mind, the power of our energy, the power of healing, and taking that radical responsibility. Because if we do not take that responsibility to heal our own programming, to heal our own patterns, our cycles, our trauma, all of the stuff that we carry within us, then those are going to be the very things that keep repeating over and over and over again. And I always think about it in the sense of, like, you know, lineage trauma, lineage patterns and programming. If you want to start helping your family, the best way you can start helping your family is helping yourself heal and disrupt those programs. Mm-hmm. And so this kind of work of meshing the spiritual with the science and meshing those things with an deep understanding of how our own bodies are working on a consciousness level, a spiritual level, a science level, is going to help you to start understanding how you can start disrupting systems and programs that are just toxic and causing a lot of the hopelessness, you know? And so it's like going into that space of understanding self so that you can radically take responsibility for self, and knowingness that is the way to bring in a shift into a more hopeful future for ourselves, you know?
Absolutely. 100%. I resonate with all of that. It reminds me of the documentary Heal.
Yeah. Yeah. Right
now, watch it. Anyone who hasn't watched it, watch it with an open heart, an open mind. I mean, when I was watching, I was like, yes, 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 yes. There was no like, oh, I wonder if that's possible. It was like, oh, that is 100% possible. Because yep. When you get to that place of, I call radical self-love, of like radical self-awareness, of just being able to, like you were saying, take ownership for every area in your life, which I know can feel icky. Like, I know that it's not always the answer that you want to hear. But the moment that that lands in a way that you can resonate with, in a way that just, it does something inside of you. It's a tangible, physical, visceral feeling. Like it doesn't need to be explained, because you know, you are now aware. The moment every single one of us become aware of our desires, aware of the things that are aching within, aware of the wounds, aware of the numbing. I'm really drawn to the numbing right now.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's just there's something about it that is just, it's like we're being all called out for avoiding our emotions. We're all being called out for avoiding our pain. We're all being called out for avoiding our greatness. Like, it goes both ways. It's this incredible like circle. So when it comes to, because there's one thing I really did want to touch on, it's the neural circuit reprogramming. I don't know why that stood out to me so much, but it really did. I read up on it before we chatted today, but I don't feel like I got really grounded in what it is that you're doing with it. If you could explain, like, what is neural circuit reprogramming to you?
Yes. Oh, this stuff's so, it's so cool. Like, it's so cool. And I think that's the energy that is so important to bring into, if you're even feeling any sort of like whisper to go into these realms, is to bring the excitement, I call it like curious anxiety of like, yeah, it might be a little freaky, but this is so exciting. And so this neural circuit reprogramming, you know, a lot of times we hear people tossing out, you know, reform your beliefs, rebuild your beliefs, release your blocks, all that stuff. But do we truly understand what that means? And so that's the realm I love to live in is like, okay, so here's a concept, but do I truly understand the depth of that concept? Yeah. And so that's where the neural circuit reprogramming comes in, because when it comes to like rewiring belief systems, rewiring programming or patterns or cycles or things like that, that, you know, we want to release, whether it be like a limiting belief within us, whether it be like a systematic, you know, cultural type of program or anything like that. We have to understand why it's there in the first place, how it got there, and how we're basically re-imprinting it over and over again. And so when it comes to neural circuits, our belief systems, our programming, basically, it's all just something that the brain uses to create efficiency. And so depending on, you know, what you were born into, depending on the culture, the society, the family that you were born into and that you've been kind of immersed around, that's kind of what's forming those programs within you. And a lot of times, unfortunately, we're so unconscious to them that we don't realize that they're there. And we also don't realize how we're reinforcing them. And so with this neural circuit type of thing, when we have these programs within us, anytime that we come into a situation, an environment, a person, anything like that in the present tense, that is similar to the root of where we formed that belief system, program, cycle, we're going to literally within our brain, for efficiency's sake, refire neurological pathways that associate with the root of where we form that program. So this is where a lot of times like habitual cycles play out, and this repeating of struggle and challenge and story that we don't want. We don't want it there. We know it doesn't serve. But neurologically, if we're not clear on how our circuits are literally re-ingraining over and over and over these programs, and we don't know how to shift it, release it, you know, pivot and shift into building a new program, we're going to just continually replay out these programs over and over and over again. And so with these circuits, the way I always, and even as I'm talking, I'm like raising my hands up, because the way I always, I envision it of, you know, okay, so we're in a present tense moment. We have a situation arise, whether it be something toxic, something a norm, so to speak, that we're engaged in or surrounded by. And it triggers a program in us. So maybe it's a certain situation of like a belief that we have within us. Maybe you're in an environment that triggers the belief of not enoughness within you. And so the minute you have an environment that is similar to where that root program was birthed, that your brain is instantly being like, okay, how do we respond to this? And so the brain is going to fire those neurological pathways to go into effect. And your brain then starts sending a signal to your brain, your entire body, basically firing a signal of how to respond to that situation. So this is how we tend to get very reactory with situations, unconsciously responding to things, re-ingraining a program. And so the body will respond to the brain's reactory, you know, kind of signal, and the body will go into a response to that. And so the body will tend to take on certain emotion, take on certain vibration, take on certain beliefs, take on certain thoughts, and in come the thoughts, the beliefs, the emotions that are creating your vibration, creating your energy, creating what you're aligning to, creating what you're manifesting in the reality. And so if we can understand the root cause, the root neurological pathway that we have been ingraining and programming over and over, we can go in and we can start ingraining a new one. We can start reprogramming. And I always imagine it of like, I even envision it of like, we have these little, you know, tunnels in our brains that we've just carved out over and over and over by re-ingraining them. And then we identify and we see and we create awareness. The tunnel is there. That tunnel serves no purpose anymore. Let's build a new tunnel. Yeah. And so it's about shifting into reprogramming a new neurological pathway. And our brains are simply trying to be efficient. That's it. And so if we can rewire them to start forming new pathways soon enough, that will become your reaction, your response, your norm. And so it's about building the new pathway that is basically a pathway of change, you know, a pathway of complete and utter change. And what's wild about this kind of stuff is, I think, you know, we have so much power to do these kinds of, it's a lot of healing, a lot of releasing, a lot of letting go, but we're so addicted to the norms, kind of like what you were saying with the numbing, so addicted to these norms, however toxic they may be, that it's almost more comfort. We find more comfort in the toxicity than we do in the change. And so that's another thing that comes in a lot. And that's where a lot of the spirituality comes in, because we have to have this like embodiment of desire rather than the embodiment of toxicity, you know?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, so we just touched on something super cool. It just with that last phrase that you just said that I was sitting and absorbing. It makes sense. It makes sense as to why we do gravitate towards the spiritual. It makes sense as to why we gravitate to work the works of Brené Brown when she says, "You are enough, I'm enough." This is something that I keep on coming back home to, is I'm enough, I'm enough, I'm worth it. And it makes sense, because the moment that we allow ourselves to be worth it, then we allow ourselves to be worth the change.
Yes.
And I know that's not scientifically stated, but it makes sense, because then what happens is, you're talking about the tunnels. I view them as riverways. So these like riverways through the brain, and we start creating new ones that we're going to start to journey and path through. But the only way that we can really start that is to become to that place of consciousness that goes, I'm worth it. I'm worth doing this. Everything. I'm always so blown away at how it's like we showed up on the planet Earth, and we really already came with this idea that somehow we weren't enough. And it blows me away.
I know.
I'm like, is this the journey for us in the present moment here now, is to realize our value?
Yeah. And
not value in like the sense of like, oh, I'm valuable because I do this and because I do that. Not fluff. No. Like value in just in the fact of our existence, like having to do nothing more than to breathe and be considered
enough.
Oh, so yeah. And that's, I love that through talking through that, there was just this like real deep resonance of, it will always come back down to that moment when you decide to turn the leaf and go, I'm going to create new systems of belief for myself. This is a big one.
Yeah.
This is a one that, will like knock you upside the head when you first recognize it, and then will take years to develop. So allow yourself the time and the journey. I love so much that you touched on the very beginning of going, okay, well, if like reading some of the stuff that we're chatting about today is like not sinking in, not like landing, okay, cool. That's not a problem. Find the things that are landing. It literally could be showing up on your yoga mat and allowing yourself to practice and flow. Like that could be, and it's so funny where it starts happening. For me, it was allowing myself to take better care of my health. That was the big pinnacle. That was the turning point. Natalie, personally for you, do you remember what it was for you that like allowed you to recognize your worth?
Totally. It was, I started getting really deliberate with a daily alignment practice and committing, like deeply committing to a daily alignment practice. Just like what you're saying, like whether it be show up on my mat for 10 minutes, or do this or do that. Like it could be anything from little teeny increments of commitment to self or really large, long drawn out commitments to self. But the main thing for me is like, things that allow me to create an openness within myself. Mm. Because I think a lot of times, you know, and I can, on the days that I'm like super busy or something, I can feel it in my body, this like, this tight, restricted, closed off sense of self. And it's like, I am not open. I'm not in a space of peace or ease. And it's so anything that gives me a sense of comfort or relief, anything at all, is, that's like my goal every day, is seeking anything that allows me to feel that way.
100%. Natalie, as you're chatting, there's your hair might be rustling in your mic, just so you know, to pull away. That happens to me too. I've learned to pull it to an elastic. And we'll segue with that, because so Natalie will be releasing a podcast here very soon. So yay. I'd love for people to know where they can hang out with you. We're not closing yet, but that reminded me to make sure that we, where would be the best, and I'm going to put in the show notes, but where's a really great place to hang out with you?
I would say Instagram. I absolutely adore Instagram. I do a lot of Insta stories and stuff like that. So my handle on Instagram is I am Natalie Bright.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I follow her. I love the words that she pours out. So similar styles in regards to It's so fascinating. I love the complementary approaches that there are to being able to vibrate and the way in which you choose to vibrate. Yes. And I love the fact that that shows up in the language and the way in which that we communicate through the written word, also through the spoken word. But because there's so many people who listen to this podcast who love to read, who are enthralled with something poetic that comes from the deep roots of the soul, I'm going to read something that Natalie wrote, and it's going to create some connectors for what we talked about today. I would encourage everybody to definitely follow Natalie on Instagram so that you can 100% absorb more of this information, this content, because it's interesting the way where it births from. I'm always curious to know, where does this language actually come from? The language in which that we speak, the way in which that we write, because it comes from within. It is in our own words, but at the same time, it's almost like borrowed, because I can easily come back to something I've written months ago and be completely soothed by it, completely awoken again to it. Do you find that as well?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Language in general has been such a fascinating thing to kind of feel into, because we hold, again, so much meaning to a word, like one word, you know, like one word can be this like weighted down heavy thing, or the lightest feather ever. And, or like just a breath of like wind blowing by, or, you know, it's so wild with language. And, that's something that I think is so important to feel into, is the meaning behind the words themselves that we're using.
110. All right, here we go. I'm going to read something that Natalie wrote. And everyone just wants to breathe and settle in, because we have journeyed a lot of different places today. Here we go. You are a spiritual being made up of energy, vibrations, and the same particles as the sun, moon, and stars. Stitched into the fabric of your being resides so much inner guidance, ancestral support, and ancient wisdom. Time is now to step fully into your power, unleash your unlimited potential, and show the world who the fuck you truly are. By Natalie Bright. There's so much peace that comes when we listen and write and read. There is so much peace that comes in taking that, what was that, like a 5-second pause?
Yeah. And so much space was created.
So much space is created within that. So in saying this, I'm gonna let the listeners just like cocoon themselves a little bit now with that, and continue their own personal journey, because we covered a lot of ground. Is there something that you would love to leave with them today?
I would say to make it your intention daily to, just like what we just did, mm-hmm. take some 5 seconds and make it feel like 5 years. Like, hold space for yourself. Truly hold space, because in this world, it gets very, very busy, very loud, very distracting, and that can really pull you out of your own power source, your own creator potential. So just holding space for yourself every day to actually be able to gain that inner wisdom again, and to hear it, to listen to it, and kind of see where it's directing you toward.
Absolutely. It's always there. It's always available. There is something incredible about, I say this, the quality of your design. There is just something happening inside of you. And if you do give yourself moments of pause and reprieve from all of the chaos, you're going to recognize within yourself that there is this, I posted a tornado on one of your pictures today. That one just really spoke to me. It's almost like you're going to create your own momentum. You're going to become a tornado amidst all the chaos that is around you. And then you're going to be intentional about what you choose to pull towards you and what you choose to extract away from you. And it's a beautiful place to reside in. So thank you so much for listening to another episode of In the Bedroom with Cassie Jeans, Words That Awaken the Soul. It has been an honor and a privilege to share space with you, Natalie.
Thank you.
An honor and a privilege to share space with all the listeners. You guys are incredible and fascinating, and allow yourself to be curious about your existence. and the words that are showing up for you here today, sending you so much love.